sweet zombie Jesus, it's that time of the week again. It's time for episode 2 of PWA Radio. Welcome to the show. This one's going to be extra long this week because our interview segment, it ran on for quite a while. So, in advance, I want to apologize for any audio issues, with the interview. This is the first time we did an interview over Skype, and the recording software, while it seemed to go fine in testing, after the interview was over, it, appeared that there was some audio problems, it didn't sound as good as I would have liked, but, the interview was so long, there was no way that I was going to go back and re-record the entire thing. So I've taken some measures and changed some things around. So hopefully next week it's going to be a lot better whenever we have our next guest on. So we're going to start off the show with some corrections. Apparently last episode I kept referring to the Masters of Apocalypse rather than the Masters of Armageddon. I don't know what the hell I was thinking. It was possible I'm drunk. I don't really recall. And there were a few other names that I was not pronouncing correctly, and, you know, to those people, I say, just too damn bad. You should feel lucky that I'm even mentioning you at all on PWA Radio. So with that having been said, the recaps this week, they're going to be quick, they're going to be dirty, because the rest of the show is really long, so we're not going to dwell on any of that, any of the other stuff, we're just going to get it out of the way. We're going to start off with, actually some previews of the shows that, since we had President Chameleon on with us, we went ahead and previewed the show. You're going to be listening to that right now. All right, now as part of the show, we're going to, typically this would be the recap of the Rampage, Chaos, and Genesis, and that will be coming up a little bit later in the show. I guess we're not going to recap Genesis because that's not for another week, and I don't have my crystal ball with me, but what we're going to do now, since I've got President Chameleon on the phone with me, is we're going to go ahead and we're going to preview those shows and talk a little bit about them before they happen. So, Prez, let's start with Chaos. Tell me what's on tap.
All right. Well, what's on tap is we've got 5 matches going on that night, and it'll air off air. Before Rampage takes place, but you can check it out on our website for the full events. Our opening match that night is probably going to be Brandon Jones versus Scotty Brody to Panther Snow, making his PWA debut. The reason for this match basically is Brandon Jones hadn't been on the air yet, and he really wanted a match, so I went ahead and booked it for him. And Scotty, who's been hanging around the back area for every week, begging for a spot, tagging along with just about every wrestler trying to get a bit, is going to get his first match. It should be a good one. I'm actually looking forward to it just for the fact that Scotty is a PWA legend in his own right.
Oh, actually, he's been with us since day one.
Or probably before.
that's true. He might have helped set up the ring. I don't know. He was here whenever I got here. I'll tell you that much.
Mm-hmm. And then next on the card, now of course I love to rearrange these matches as things happen, so this might not be the actual order, but Rage versus Pohatu, or as a lot of the people have been calling him, Potato, which is easier to say in my opinion. I've been looking forward to this match specifically because Rage came to the PWA specifically for this match, and it was funny, too, because when I got the application for Rage, I went looking for the guy to make sure it wasn't the same one, because we've been looking for that Rage to get back to the PWA since reopening, but he's right. Like Dr. Remo, we can't find him worth shit.
That's right, former PWA world champion Rage, for the people listening at home.
But this Rage, I like what I've seen so far, and I think he's going to really make an impact in the PWA as time goes on. The next match on the card, Method Cobra versus Circa. Method Cobra has been an interesting character here in the PWA. He's been fun to listen to, but at the same time, a little bit of a headache. But I appreciate the efforts he's put in. But Circa, she's had some falling outs lately, some bad matches, but this girl, she does not stop. I would label her the Energizer Batter Bunny for the PWA, and she's back this week, and I expect good things from her. The television title match, Odyssey has been quite impressive. Warren Angle, from his debut, actually coming over on Peyton Strader for the title win, sort of. And he's been itching for much stiffer competition. Helix made his debut at Who's the Man, came out on top over Skardik and Jacob Collins, and I really expect that match to hell of a good contest.
Now Odyssey, he's related to Commissioner Joe Boxer, is that right?
Yes, he is. Right?
Mm-hmm. So he's the champion already. How did that come about?
Well, Odyssey got a fair break at the beginning, and I guess him and Peyton had some words backstage, and Strader, with his ego, said, bring it to the ring, and Peyton dominated the match. I figured this was a locked stock and barrel thing for Peyton, but then he lays down, puts Odyssey on top. Odyssey's the champ, and hey, that's business between them. I'm not exactly happy with the way the title changed hands, but I'm not going to knock it, because Odyssey has proven himself since then and prior to then as to being a capable wrestler. And the TV title currently is in the possession of a man who does fight for it.
Now, how many more Ingles are there? Are there going to be some more joining up in the PWA, or have we hit saturation with Ingles?
No one's going to outdo the Morins, so we don't have to worry about that. And the final match, our main event of the night, which has definitely earned a spot and will air last, is Kara Sue, the Grizzly Bear champion, in a non-titled fight versus the Phoenix and Vicious. And of all the matches for Chaos, this one has definitely proven to be the most entertaining back-and-forth verbal warfare from the moment of booking. And while I have not heard much from our Grizzly Bear champion, Phoenix and Vicious have made it the main event themselves. And I'm going to put this on the air right now, and I'll be announcing it at a Chaos, that due to the fact that Kara Sue has not made a media appearance this week, there may be issues with his attendance in the PW in the future. So the Grizzly Bear title is on the line tonight.
Now, wait, you know what? I'm looking right now at YouTube, and apparently Vicious has got a video up there, response to the last thing to the Phoenix, who, future world champion, the Phoenix, I'm going to say, is, he's responded to that, so I will have words for him later. Let's move on to Rampage now. What's going on Rampage this week?
Rampage. Oh, I am so looking for this one. Looking forward to this one, definitely. Now, obviously, there's been a lot of flack for Razor being the new champion because of the fact he is my brother. But for the people who really paid attention and whittled it down to the core, he has done it on his own. I'm sure we're going to have some words later on concerning the main event at Who's the Man, and I'm looking forward to that. But I'm going to go backwards here, and I'm going to start with the main event at Rampage, Razor versus Kyle Stevenson. My brother has now made this a world title match. Kyle Stevenson is the number one contender for tonight. And of all the matches for this show, it again, due to the media appearances this week, earned the spot. And I have been impressed with Kyle Stevenson. I will be on the books with that right now. But if we're going to allow history to be any kind of foundation for how this match will turn out, I'm going to stick with my brother because, well, you know, family does that. Unless you're an angle.
And quite frankly, world champion Kyle Stevenson just doesn't sound right. You know that. I know that. Everyone knows it.
True, but in the PWA, I can see just about anything going down. And, you know, as much as I am not a fan of the Phoenix, I expect him to be somewhere in the world champion status soon, too. I agree with you, except for the fact that he hasn't had a great run on pay-per-views recently.
Well, face stiff, and we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that. But I'm pulling for Stevenson in this match because the Phoenix has kicked his ass once, and positive he can do it twice. So come on, Kyle.
All right. Well, since we're going backwards in this, let's go down next to Matthew Virus Angle versus Grade A Alex Wilkie, which I would give main event status to right away if not for the world title being on the line at Rampage. Virus has been begging for a chance to face Grade A, and they have not disappointed, not in any way whatsoever. This is going to be a hard match to watch because the ending could go either way at any moment, and whoever comes out on top is probably going to be put right into title contention for one of the larger titles. I'm thinking probably the Intercontinental Championship.
All right, what's next?
Oh, okay. I was waiting for you to respond to that.
I really don't give a shit about them. So what's going on next? If it's not Concern of the Phoenix, I don't care. You want to talk about tag titles, you talk to Moke and Dragon. Don't talk to me.
Oh, fine. Okay, Randall Morton versus DCDI is all I'm going to say with it. If Duff wants to come online and spell out his name for us sometime in the future, that's fine. But Randall versus Duff, that's going to be a good one, too. I'm always a fan of the Morons. That's just a fact. But I'm not going to say much more on this match because until the bell rings at the end of it, the outcome is just...
Now, is Randall stable? Did you see his little thing on the TV where he was all kind of wearing glasses and hiding from his woman? What's up with that?
He's a Morin.
Okay.
There's no explanation. Or that is the explanation. I just think he might be the most stable of all the Morins, but if he's breaking down, heaven forbid. Or heaven help us, either one. The next match, the debuting Razor Dolls, which, Lisa's in that match. Oh, God. I'm not going to go there about Lisa. Anyway, versus Fire, who's making her PWA debut, and Riona Langley. Now, apparently, there was a booking issue with this match, and I put the total blame on Joe Boxer for this one. But the animosity between everyone in that match except Fire is probably going to make this just a clusterfuck of a match, and it's probably just going to be nothing but pure woman drama. And well, I never thought the PWA could turn into a bitch fight, but with this one, it may.
You never thought that? You were here for the icons, right?
Well, yeah, I was here for the icons, but they didn't put on any crop adventures, so I gave them credit. Just a little. The fact that Razor could put Prima Donna down every single match, you know. Sure, whatever. Project X. Oh, God. Why is he still here? Oh, that's right. He produces. This man has made enemies of every single living soul in the PWA and probably half of the nation outside of it. But the man is incredible in the ring. Having survived up until this point, barely stayed down for the 10 count at Who's the Man. I was kind and generous, which is rare for the Chameleon, and booked him against Skardik in the hopes that either Project X would have an easy week to recoup, because whether he likes it or not, he is going to be in the main event at the next pay-per-view. And his opponent, brand new to the PWA, has a second match, and I'm hoping he'll put some sort of fight into this, but I'm not going to give him a lot of credit tonight.
Okay.
And finally, Jacob Collins versus Nightmare. Now, I've been getting a lot of words about Jacob Collins going, this guy hardly ever shows up for his appearances and so on, but this guy, whether he shows up or not, he's always in contact with me saying, keep me on the shows, I'll do what I can. If I have to put other people until I learn how to get those ring skills in place, I'm going to. But unfortunately, this week he's against Nightmare. So, and with Nightmare going through the issues he did a couple weeks ago, a dominant win at Who's the Man, I'm going to definitely think that Nightmare is going to come out on top
now,
in this match.
Is this a new Nightmare, like a new Rage, or am I confused?
This Nightmare, I believe, was in the HIC for a while. Has, if I'm correct in my knowledge, with the BWF at some point. And he has nothing to do with the original PWA. Okay. Not the 8-foot tall monster, not the fake Nightmare that came after, and not the Nightmare that did appear in the BWF back when I first applied there. So there's quite a few Nightmares, but, you know, when you're in a federation like these, that's obvious.
All right.
just in a different way. But that's our Rampage and Chaos cards. Rampage is due to be on time this week, as it is every week so far. In fact, based on the people arriving at the arena already, we should be good to go for an on-time show tonight.
Nice. Sounds great. And so next Friday, if I'm understanding this right, we're not going to have a Rampage, we're not going to have a Chaos, but we are going to be airing the missing Genesis, Genesis 5. Is that right?
Sort of. There will be a Rampage. Genesis 5 is a repeat airing of the show that took place 5 years ago. The reason for this is that we had a very low buy rate back then, and due to the fact that the PWA has really expanded, exploded in this past couple of months, we're going to give it a shot because a lot of the matches taking place on Genesis 5 may have some future bearing here in the PWA. Now, let me go and find the card, because there might be only five matches, but to talk about it, I want to see it in front of my face here. The Brothers Grimm versus the Man and MVP. Now, yeah, that's going to be an interesting match, because from what I've heard back at that particular pay-per-view, the Man and MVP weren't in their right minds. Project X versus Thunderwolf. I heard that was an incredible match. I was too focused on my match to really pay attention at the time, but as far as I'm concerned, that might have been the show stealer, and that's not to take any credit away from me or my brother, but you're talking about two of the biggest men in the PWA ever going at it, and I believe it was for the Intercontinental Championship. But again, I wasn't involved, so
but
you know.
Wouldn't it be fair to say that Thunderwolf is highly overrated?
It would depend on your point of view. When it comes to his self-ego, yes. When it comes to the fact that he continuously does put up the effort, then it's well-placed, his credit. But, I mean, the match I had with him to take over his portion of SWA, I saw exactly what he was and what he's capable of, and someday I'll probably face him again if he ever comes out of retirement. Knowing him, he's probably too scared.
What else is going on?
Let's see. The Phoenix versus Showtime. I heard that was a good
positive.
One.
It was probably the best match of the night. Pretty sure.
Yeah, you would say that, wouldn't you? But, you know, I'm just hoping that that match turns out as good as I heard it did. And then Razor versus Rage in a grudge match. These guys have faced off numerous times, and I'm not exactly sure how they got into another feud leading to Genesis 5, but since Razor has been in every single Genesis, it's nice to know that in this one he's going to at least be facing a veteran of the PWA and should be a good match. But the one that I remember, of course, because I was in it, is facing Jamie Havoc, which is for full totem pole position that Jamie Havoc held in the PWA. In the last 4 months of the PWA before it did close down, he was in consistent world title hunt status. And it seems fitting that at Genesis 5 he and I did clash, and I'm not going to let my ego or my depression, whichever I see. I don't recall Genesis 5. That's why I'm re-airing it. I just know that I walked out of Final Showdown the champion for both the Grizzly Bear and the world title, and that's what I remember most, and that's what I'm sticking with. Thank you very much.
Razor versus Rage is going to be the original Rage, not the Dragon as Rage, because he was Rage for a while, and it's not the new Rage in the PWA.
That's right. Okay. This is the original Rage, the one and only, the one that Razor used to be friends with, then became enemies with, and then whatever. Whew. So, you know, 4 years of the PWA between those two. It's a core staple feud, just as the Brothers Grimm versus anybody. Especially Might and Magic. And I'm going to tell you right now, I can't wait to see those two teams go at it again, because they were very entertaining for Who's the Man. But, yeah, that's the original Rage. It's a small pay-per-view, but, again, the PWA was having some issues at the time, And it was the final one before people started going over to HIC. In fact, if I remember correctly, Genesis 5 was kind of the, this is what the HIC is going to become, and so on. Because it was just that the HIC picked up, and we all moved over there, and it went for, I believe, 8 months, very solid 8 months, before that faltered, and I think that's when we finally took a break before things picked up again.
All right. Well, everything sounds great. We're going to have a great couple weeks of action coming up here. I'll tell you what, we're going to go to a quick break, and when we come back, then I'm going to what's going to happen is we're going to do some more interview. But what you're going to hear is you're going to hear the recap of Chaos and Genesis after they happen, and then we'll go to the interview. But it's very confusing because we're all out of time here. So anyway, just all you need to know is here's some music.
I don't take clothes that are hand-me-down. I don't smile because I wear a frown. Once I get started, you can't hold me down. Once I get going, then I go to town. Cause I'm not like everybody else. I'm not like everybody else. I'm not like everybody else. I'm not like everybody else.
All right, I hope you enjoyed the previews with President Chameleon there. But now we're going to get down to recapping what we just previewed. So let's start off with Chaos, shall we? It was the first episode of Chaos, I will mention, so kind of groundbreaking in that respect. The first match of the first Chaos was Surika beating Method Cobra. After that, the Hate Machine Rage beat Potato. Then Brand the Beat Jones, or is it Brandon? I don't know. According to the recap that I saw, it was Brand the Beat Jones. He beat the legendary Scotty the Panther Snow, making his Chaos debut, or actually his new PWA debut, the Snow. And finally, in the main event, was the television title match featuring Odyssey versus Helix, with Helix walking out as the new television champion. Now for Rampage. The show starts, Chameleon comes out, tells the world that Karasu quit, and because of that, the Grizzly Bear title is now up for grabs on the show tonight. That match, of course, was supposed to be the main event on Chaos, but due to the promise, not just the potential, but the promise of a brand new champion, the show's going to be on Rampage. That and the fact that they had to kind of stall for time to see if Karasu is actually going to show up, and then to get the gimmick match ready. And what kind of gimmick match is it going to be? It's going to be a London's Burning match, which actually I'm just going to take all the credit in the world for. President Chameleon obviously was listening last week to PWA Radio. He got the idea for me, and that's just spectacular. See, I make a difference. And in case anybody wasn't paying attention last week, and shame on you if you weren't, here's how a London's Burning cage match works. It's think the old school big blue steel cage that they used to have, and it's like that, only on the cage itself is it's made out of pipes with holes in the pipe for gas to come through, and they light the whole thing on fire, so it's a flaming cage match. And obviously the way to win is by pinfall or submission. You don't actually want to try to climb the cage, because that would just be completely idiotic. And the winner of this match will be the new Grizzly Bear champion. So following the announcement, we're backstage, and it is sandwich time with the Ingles. Following that, Project X just completely hands Kartik's ass. Probably the most noteworthy part of the match would be that Project X has new theme music, which is excellent, because his old stuff sounded like the Chipmunks to me. I don't think that's who it was, but sure as all sounded like it. Then Razor comes out, and Razor and Project X start to go at it, but Chameleon stops them. Chameleon announces that the Rampage Before Revolutions Per Minute will feature the main event of Project X teaming up with Razor to face the team of Corey Lazarus and the Phoenix. Yet another main event for the Phoenix. Cyrus Morin will be the referee, and Alex Wilkie, grade A Alex Wilkie, will be the special enforcer outside of the ring. Now, why would those six men all be involved in that match? Well, that's a fair question, and President Chameleon tells us the answer. Because the main event for Revolutions Per Minute is going to be an Elimination Chamber match for the world title with all six men in the ring. It's going to be fantastic. And again, another main event for the Phoenix. Chameleon also stipulates that if Project X and Razor touch each other before the pay-per-view, before Revolutions Per Minute, that Razor will be stripped of his world title and they'll both be fired from the PWA. In the ring, though, after that, we've got Matthew the Virus Engle taking on Grade A Alex Wilkie. The Virus wins, and post-match, the Virus argues with a fan who's wearing a Phoenix mask at ringside. The argument escalates to blows. The fan actually hits a Mercury driver on Virus, takes off his mask, and it's Corey Lazarus. Backstage, Chameleon is talking to Lean Bean Miller, apparently talking about confessing his true love and how he can't quit him. Also backstage, Nightmare and company do something, which is followed up by Nightmare completely destroying Jacob Collins, who just bless his heart. He just keeps trying and trying and never quite succeeding. Randall Morin is narrowly defeated by Duff. And then we come to the Grizzly Bear title match, which, for the record, as you will find out during the interview with President Chameleon, this was going to be the main event on the first ever Chaos. So I'm just going to mark that as another main event for the Phoenix. It's the Phoenix versus Vicious. And remember, we are guaranteed a brand new champion at the end of this match. There's some back and forth. There's a lot of spots teasing somebody getting set on fire. The end of the match comes when the Phoenix gets whipped to the ropes, but with great presence of mind, jumps onto the top rope, narrowly avoiding being run into the big wall of flames ahead of him. Phoenix comes off the top rope, he nails a standing Ashes, which is a flying elbow drop, on Vicious. Vicious completely knocked out on his feet, he's just standing there dazed. The Phoenix, however, not being prepared for this type of match, collapses from heat exhaustion. Vicious finally, much like if you've seen the movie Popeye, where Popeye beats the crap out of the boxer, this is what happens. Vicious falls down, unfortunately, on top of the Phoenix, gets a fluke pin. And now I'm just going to be the bigger man here. I'm going to say congratulations to Vicious, the new Grizzly Bear champion. I know that, you know, the Grizzly Bear title has always been one of my favorites just due to the stipulations involved around it. But I got to say that I am personally quite glad that the Phoenix didn't walk out with the Grizzly Bear title, because, quite frankly, that would have been his key right out of the main event at Revolutions Per Minute. I mean, look at Grade A Alex Wilkie, lost the title, main event at RPM. Same thing for the Phoenix. He was in the main event. If he won the title, he would have to be defending the title later on. So, it looks like the Phoenix dodged a bullet there for sure. And, you know, really, what better way for a new champion to start his title reign than to collapse from being knocked out and just by chance land on top of a guy that passed out from heat exhaustion? But nevertheless, new champion in Vicious in his first ever match, come to think of it. So, whatever. Following that, we have the Razor Dolls versus the team of Fire and Riona Langley. This is, if memory serves, Fire's debut in the PWA. Erica Engel is going to be the guest referee. She just starts talking. She spits some mist in Riona's eyes. She calls it lips like morphine, and I'm thinking, what the fuck? Erica talks, and she talks, and then she talks some more, just like a woman. I think she's talking about having a not-so-fresh feeling. To be honest, I don't know. I tend to tune out whenever women are talking. But I do know that the Razor Dolls won. It was, in my opinion, kind of a dull match, because it really needed either maybe some Jell-O, some mud, or some oil. I'm not sure which, but one of those three things would have helped immensely. Backstage with Lean Bean Miller, he finds Fallen Angel, who apparently hates the Straighters. Next, we've got, finally, the main event, the PWA World Title match, which is Razor versus Kyle Stevenson. Kyle held his own against Razor, which is impressive, but against My prediction, as you heard earlier, Razor came out winning, and that was just sad for everyone involved. We've already previewed Genesis, so there's no need to do that again, but there is some matches announced for Rampage next week, so let's go over those. It's a night of number one contenders, apparently, as we've got the number one contender for the TV title in Skartik versus Fallen Angel versus Circa. We have got the number one contender for the Grizzly Bear title in Scott Nash Strader versus Riona Langley. And we've got the number one contender for the IC title with Kyle Stevenson versus Nightmare. And you know what? I'm just going to go out on a limb. I want to predict a win for women across the board. Circa, Riona Langley, and Kyle Stevenson all going to win their respective matches. And we finish it off with the TV title match, which will be Helix versus Fire, which... oh, I'm sorry, that doesn't finish it off, but that is a TV title match, which is, you know, maybe main event worthy on Chaos, but I forgot we're talking about Rampage here. So this is only Fire's second match in the PWA. Her first match, if you recall from just like 10 seconds ago, was a tag team title, or I'm sorry, a tag team match, not a title match, because that would just be ridiculous. And her team lost, but apparently that sets her up to the number one contendership for the TV title. Now, the actual main event will be the team of Fatal Tragedy taking on the Masters of Armageddon. Yes, not Apocalypse. That apparently is somebody else. No, the Masters of Armageddon will be in the main event at Rampage. And then, of course, following that up immediately with a showing of the heretofore thought lost Genesis 5. All right, so now we're going to take another quick break because I would like to get something to drink. And we'll be coming back with our... the first part of our interview with President Chameleon.
Are you alone now? Did you lose the monkey? He gave you black eggs, and now you slouch. He didn't mean it. It's just a dumb.
All right, we're back. Now it is time for our, what you've been waiting for, probably anyway. This is the interview segment with President Chameleon, where I'm going to ask all the questions that I want to know the answers to. So first off, I've got to ask this right off the bat. What exactly do you plan to do about the ref and his fast count for Corey Lazarus at Who's the Man? Have you fired him? Has he been fined? What's going on?
Now, whose fast count are we talking about? The referee?
Yeah, did you not watch the tape? Did you not see that? It was clearly a fast count. I was talking about it on the first episode of PWA Radio, been talking about it all over the place. Fast count, that was like 1.5 tops by any other referee.
Did your stopwatch quit on you or something? For me, it looked just fine. And besides, I'd like the outcome as it happened, so, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. But no, you've not heard the end of this.
Well, look,
listen,
you put up a hell of a battle. There is no denying that. For all of the problems that you and I have had in 9 years, you are definitely a consummate competitor. Whether you believe the ref counted fast or not is an issue that is not going to be resolved per arguing with each other. As far as I'm concerned, you're going to get another world title shot down the line, but Corey Lazarus is the franchise of 2008. And that's not going to change.
That hurts. I'm not going to lie, that hurts. All right, you can make it up to me right now. Tell me, you come on the PW Radio, people there expecting to hear something exciting, so give me a bombshell here, give me some huge news. What? Just drop it on me.
If I really want to give away something, what would I give away?
No, it's not if you want to give. You come on the PW Radio, you got to give something away.
Well... What? You're complaining about fast counts. You better be watching your ass tonight, because your match against Vicious and Karasu is for the Grizzly Bear title now. I think that's a big news, because you weren't expecting that. One of you is going to walk out champion. And you know what? To be honest with you, I need someone who's actually putting up an effort every week to hold the title, so there will be no 1-2-3 fast count for you. Good luck to you, man. Really. I mean,
All right, so there will be...
Let's see, if we want another...
You got more?
We got a little...
Oh, well, I'll take more.
Yeah, I got more. Yeah, I'm sure you would. You see, the thing is that I don't know what Joe Boxer had in mind for holding off on the big match at the April pay-per-view, but I really want the people to know what's going on. I keep enough secrets to this, but the Elimination Chamber match at Revolutions Per Minute, you know, there's going to be six people in that match. Obviously, Razor, the world champion. Project X, you know, he has said he doesn't want his rematch right away, but if he wants a chance at the world title, if he wants a chance at revenge, he's going to have to take it then. Project X is the second man in that chamber. The third man in that chamber, obviously, Corey Lazarus, fast count or not, has earned his world title shot. But, you see, here's the thing. We can go through all the fighting we want verbally. We can hate each other up the ass. But the fact is, when you ran the PWA, I'm going to admit that 7.5%, 7.5 out of 10 times, you were fair. So, I'm thinking that the Phoenix is going to get spot number 4 in the Elimination Chamber.
Now, that's what I like to hear right there.
Now, you might not like this next part. Number 5 is going to Cyrus Morin.
Oh, jeez. Hasn't he had enough titles? Can't he just do exhibition matches?
Well, you see, that's the thing about Cyrus. His pants are too big. He needs something to hold it up. Number 6, this might be an interesting match, because this guy has been running rampant in the PWA since his debut with an tremendous record of, I believe, currently 8-2 before tonight's event. And after barely losing the Grizzly Bear Championship at Who's the Man, Alex Wilkie will get spot number 6 in the Elimination Chamber match at Revolutions Per Minute.
Now that is interesting. So, conceivably, that means that Great A. Nastiness could be comprised of the Intercontinental Champion and the World Champion. Is that correct?
It could be, because for a long time it was the IC and GB Championship comprised by the two. Now, I know that both men are very interested in a tag title hunt, but as I've they've got to survive where they are for as long as possible to earn that contendership. And while Wilkie did indeed lose the Grizzly Bear Championship at Who's the Man, Mark McNasty continues to prove himself as the IC champion, so they're just going to have to hold off on that for a bit.
Yeah, well, Might Magic, I'm sure, will be pleased.
They may be.
They may be. They may not be. We don't know what else is going to happen.
Well, you have to consider the fact that if Great A. Nastiness is split up at Revolutions Per Minute, and, you know, Lazarus is part of a tag team, but he's in the main event.
And the Grimms are split up.
The Grimms are split up. Virus, I think he's part of a tag team, but, you know, he might be in contendership for another title, considering his position in his match tonight with Alex Wilkie. My God, if we're really going to nail tag teams down, I think Mike Magic might be in a bit of an ill position, considering that the Razor Dolls are here.
Aren't they girls?
What's your point?
Have you seen Mokdashki?
I've seen Mokdashki. I think I've actually still have to super kick him for a fast count at Xmas at Ground Zero, which we could go over later. But, Lou and Lou of the size difference, I've seen David and Goliath matches in the PWA since day one, and let's just put it, Might and Magic might be in a position to cry.
Yeah, well, I will believe that whenever I see it. Alright, moving on. Well, I was just wanting to comment here that, so it looks like you know, Razor got the title, and there's been plenty to say about that. I don't really think we need to go over it. You know my feelings on Razor.
But you want to.
Well, no. You know my feelings on Razor. You know my feelings on you. Yep. There were shenanigans involved.
And I really don't give a damn. So.
I know you listened last week. You heard what I had to say, how it took three chances for him. He needed three chances. He got three chances. He finally pulled it off. But it looks like your entire scheme backfired since he's got to defend that title in the Elimination Chamber, which does not favor the champion.
First of all, it wasn't a scheme. If you want to really look at it, let's dig into this just for a moment here. Enika Engel was the number one contender for the PW World Championship against Project X at Who Is the Man. It was her spot. She earned it. It was her chance.
Wait.
And then Project X decided to fuck himself up by eliminating her the very last minute. Enika Engel?
Erica. Her name's Erica.
It's Enika.
No, I'm pretty positive it's I'm pretty positive it's Erica.
No wonder the PW failed the first. Ow. Just a moment. For the sake of argument, let's go and review our roster. And if I can spell Erica, I would spell it with an R, but I'm reading here E-N-I-K-A.
Sounds like a typo to me. But anyway.
Yeah, well, you can talk to Enika all you want because it was on the birth certificate, so, you know. Anyway, Enika Engel was in line for it, and Project X decided to take her out at the wrong time. Now, since there was a feud building between Razor and Project X, all the matches for Who's the Man were booked in place. I was left with either letting Project X have the night off, which I will never do for a pay-per-view with the world champion, or allow the natural progression of storyline put those two against each other. And some may wonder, why wasn't it non-title? Well, I'm not going to let the title walk away for a night off either.
And it doesn't hurt that your brother was, you know, in line, right?
My brother didn't care about the title. He wanted Project X.
Come on. We've both known Razor for a long time. When has he never cared about the title?
Oh, you know, there's been times that he has back when his career was young, but does he need a title to dominate? No.
I'm pretty sure he's got one of those huge rodeo belt buckles that he wears in his civilian clothes. That's how much he loves
the
big belts.
Didn't need the title to beat you last month.
That was, I'm pretty positive that was a fluke. But, really, you tell me, what other competitor in the PWA who could have fallen over 20 feet through the steel mesh, through the two tables, onto the hard mat? Who could have gotten up from that?
Knowing the PWA, just about anyone.
Oh, bullshit.
Hey, see, as much as each other, you can laugh at it. You went through two tables, you got up and walked away. Total credit to you.
Well,
I've been on a roll
ever since. I mean, except for that little thing with Lazarus, the fast count there. I've been on a roll, man. That was a turning point for the Phoenix.
Yes, it was, and I'm not denying that. It's like I said, I'm businessman first, personal second, unless you fuck with me directly. And that's why you're getting your shot at the pay-per-view, because you earned it. But I'm going to tell you now, people want to question Razor's position. He earned it. And, you know, I could be anybody else. He could not be my brother. I could be a civilian on the sidelines. But he is the world champion for a fourth time. And, yes, it does not favor the champion at Elimination Chamber at Revolutions Per Minute. But if anybody can pull it off, it is Razor. And, hey, you get a second chance at him. Project X gets a second chance at him. But I don't favor Project X either, because while he may be a challenger, except for Cyrus Morin, there is nobody in that ring that likes.
Oh yeah, that is a good point. And while we're on the subject, Razor here, can you imagine a time? I mean, you're retired now; you're not an active competitor. Can you imagine a time when Razor is no longer competing in the ring?
First of all, I'm not retired just because I'm running the PWA and I opt to stay out of the ring. I've got no ring rust. And if you want another announcement on top of this, I will be in action at Revolutions Per Minute. I am the last BWF World Champion, and there is only one person in the BWF to ever overcome me, and her name is Fire. Now, for some reason, I can never beat a woman in the ring, and there's going to be plenty of jokes for that, but I don't care because it's just a fact. But if anybody deserves a shot at becoming the final BWF World Champion, it is Fire. So I will be in action then, and you know, I would get in that ring every week, except for the fact that, running the business, you know, I get enough problems with Razor. I really don't need the flack when I kick everybody's ass. So I sit back and let them fight, and it's much more fun to be the puppeteer than the puppet.
All right. That's fair enough, I suppose. Now, let's talk a little bit about the PWA. Who do you think? Now, we all know that there's plenty of legends on the roster. There's me, there's the Morins, there's PX, there's Razor. But what rookies do you think are going to be the future of the PWA?
I think a lot of the core BWF guys that came over here and are still able to contend with the legends of the PWA are going to be our future. And we've got some people being pulled in by some new applicants that have shown their worth. We've lost a couple this week, I can tell you that offhand, that just can't seem to cut the mustard, as the phrase would be. But for, you know, let's say Alex Wilkie, Mark McNasty, Annika Engel, Circa, Pahatu, or as everybody likes to call him, Potato, these men, Kyle Stevenson especially, these are the people that are going to be our new core legends in the PWA in the coming future. I'm not going to discredit the likes of Project X, Cyrus Morin, Corey Lazarus, or even you, as being the root cause that the PWA has been successful in these past couple of months. Combine the two together, and this is why we have the success we have.
You know, I've got a question for you. This is kind of a little personal, for me anyway. But there's another Phoenix in the PWA. But I haven't seen him in action yet. What's going on with that? Is he going to be competing, or what's going on?
Yes, as a matter of fact, there was a BWF Phoenix, and this particular Phoenix has commented to me a couple of times the interest in coming in specifically to have a match with you, and as soon as he's actually ready to do so, well, I can't tell you what will happen backstage out of my control, but per the booking, you'll have advance notice.
So he is coming.
From what I heard, I receive applications. I have interviews with new wrestlers, but while sometimes I'm in control of when they start, I do give a lot of leeway for these guys to be, you know, emotionally, physically, and, you know, prepared to come into the business. So as soon as he's ready to do so, then
All right. He'll
let me know.
Here's another question that I've been wanting to ask you and haven't gotten around to it, but will we be seeing a Shark Tank match in the near future? Because, man, I love those.
I would think that having a Shark Tank match, I know we've been wanting to get a Battle Dome match back into the PWA. In fact, I believe it's set up for a certain match in the near future, but we'll have to see what happens. And Dr. Realm of Destruction, the original match that the Battle Dome match is based off, I'm interested in seeing a return of that. I would not be objective to just about any form of match taking place in the PWA as long as we avoid some of the debacles that the W4F had back in its first
and second run.
Well,
what do you mean by that exactly? I wasn't a member of that, so...
You were not around for the one-night-only pay-per-view, and I think that was a huge mistake, but it was entertaining. Basically, all the matches took place in either odd locations or in odd setups. If I recall, we had a trampoline match. We had a match in the back of a U-Haul truck. And we had a match where the wrestlers played a video game.
You know what? I do remember that because there was a British wrestler that I was a big fan of, Derek Steven Taylor. And he was in some kind of weird match there. Yeah,
I'm avoid that unless, of course, our Grizzly Bear champion decides to do something funny, because Alex Wilkie came to me and he wanted to do an Wilkie win strat or stipulation where they go to the ring and they announce he just wins. And I denied that, but I thought it was really creative and, you know, I couldn't help but thinking, as being the most devious son of a bitch in the business, I should have let it happen at least once. But for our fans' sake, they come to see wrestling, and that's
true. And as I knew when I was in charge, and you know now, you know, the fans pay the money to see the wrestling. They don't pay to see the shenanigans.
Exactly. And I think that's where you and I can agree whether our personal differences get
away or
not. All
right, this one is also near and dear to probably your heart, but definitely my heart. Will the PWA Hall of Fame be making a comeback? I know the Genesis was the traditional time for announcing people, but since that was the beginning, basically, of the new PWA, will that be coming around again?
We keep an award section on the website for the PWA, and we want to make sure that every single week someone is recognized for their efforts in their competition, as well as marking our match of the week. Every 3 months, we are taking those match of the month and wrestler of the month, and we're going to award the best of those. Now, at the end of the year, we're going to have 4 match of the month, 4 wrestlers of the month, and we're going to also be looking at our biggest good guy, biggest bad guy, as the fans would call him. But, you know, in wrestling, there really is no good and bad guys. It's just who the fans are. Exactly. You the biggest of all. But at the end of the year, those 4 of each plus our heels, faces, the people behind the scenes, those are going to be our big awards. Point, we're going to look over the year, see who has been consistent, and we're going to hold a Hall of Fame that will induct a certain number of those in. I haven't yet decided whether or not we're just going to be lenient and induct everyone who's been there for the whole year who's been the best, or if we're going to make it really difficult and narrow it down to 4 or 5. We've got a long way to go before we're going to consider any of that. But there will be a Hall of Fame, and it won't just be based on conjecture of who we think is great at the moment we're doing it. It's going to be based on the awards that we are having every week. So there's going to be 52 awards concerning people, and down narrowing it to 4 for wrestler of the year and match of the year.
What I was specifically talking about was not a Hall of Fame necessarily for the current wrestlers, but there were, you know, the PWA had closed before a lot of people that are now considered, you know, huge legends in the industry could get inducted into the Hall of Fame, like people like Night Striker, like Dalton Campbell, even Cyrus would, you know, personal feelings aside, he would definitely qualify for a Hall of Fame. Actually, was Razor inducted? I don't remember if he was or not.
Razor's in the AOWF Hall of Fame.
But I know people like... you know, I don't even remember who's in it now. That's a shame.
I know where you're going with this, and I'll just give you an answer real quick. We could do something like that for them in the past, and it's something to consider. But in my opinion, they are legends because they're being mentioned so often that they're already in everybody's Hall of Fame in their heads. Just to say it, you know, quote unquote, on paper, isn't going to make it any better than it already is.
You're a heartless bastard. Well, I'm going to keep campaigning for this because I love this idea. I love not forgetting the history. I guess I'm...
Well, you know what? Hey, Rob, listen here. I'll tell you what. I told this man first, personal feelings aside. You ran the PWA for 4 years, 4 very successful years. You want to do the next Hall of Fame? Why don't you do it?
All right, I'm going to take you up on that. You hear that, everybody? Bombshell number, was that 3? Is that 4? Whatever. A lot of bombshells. That's the last one. We're going to take a break now. We're going to come back after the break. We're going to have some more conversation with President Chameleon. And let's listen to some music. All right, and we're back. We're going to do our second part of the interview now with President Chameleon. This is going to be the Out of Character segment where it's going to be kind of like what we did last week, where we're going to talk about our history and you know, how we got started in the game and all. So let's start right there. How did you get involved into e-fetting?
I cannot say exactly sure. I just know that one morning I was sitting on the computer going through different pages and suddenly decided to type up wrestling as a keyword. And after a few clicks came across a game I don't even remember what game it was at the time. And I'm going, okay, you know, I can't wrestle for real because I definitely don't have the build for it. And I love the right. And this was a perfect combination of the two. So I went through, and this is back way before, you know, to how you would focus on trying to find the best federation to fit for you, because I had no idea what was going to fit for me at the time. So within a period of probably 3 hours, I joined four federations. And one was an email-only fed, and then the others were websites. And I can't remember any of them except for TWSN. And so I wrote my first set of role plays and everything, and I'm waiting for results to come in. And, you know, this, I mean, first match here, totally excited, going, how's this going to work? You know, am I going to win a match or whatever? And if I'm correct, I believe I won in my debut. One of the other ones I lost in, the third one closed before anything happened. And the email one was sucky because I put up a good, what I thought at the time, role play. Had an opponent called the Mimic. And his role play basically is he cut and pasted mine and did a find/replace of my character with his and then posted it. And I guess the rules in that federation were the last person to post wins.
Nice.
And I'm thinking, that's not creative in any way whatsoever. That's just basic plagiarism and winning. So two feds I was immediately out of. The one I lost, I think I went another 2 weeks with and just could not find any sort of niche to go with it. So I gave up on that one. So here I am in TWSN, and somehow that links me over to the PWA. So I joined that one and made my debut with Razor at the time, called Chameleon, and won the match in 25 seconds, if I recall. And I'm going, okay, so my application with my character being this huge, monstrous, Undertaker-like character is being treated like the character I'm imagining, so PWA won a spot in my heart. TWSN, great fed, didn't last, closed, I believe more or less merged with the PWA in most ways. And that's where I found my home to be, was PWA at that point, and went on from there. That's how I got started in it, basically a web search and an accidental click to a link.
Yeah, so you and I, we literally go back, like, geez, 9 years now.
Yep, almost on a dot as per today's date.
Yeah, that's kind of, wow, 9 years of EFA.
25% of my life.
Wow. Okay.
I just certified, cemented myself as Geek of the Nation. All right.
So, but oh, how did you, yeah, how did ahead. You come up with Razor? And I guess Razor. All right.
Chameleon.
Yeah, well, Chameleon was Razor, and then the new Chameleon, I suppose.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what happened is my ex-girlfriend had moved up here and brought her kids with her, and we were all wrestling fans. Other than the ex, she despised it, so she disappeared when that show was on. But the kids and I would, you know, roughhouse a little bit, pull out a couple of the mattresses off the beds, and we would hold fake matches. Well, the kids like to imitate the wrestlers on the screen, but they were creating their own characters. Steven, Ironheart, that was his character. Arthur was Animal. He made appearances in the PWA. And we would all just hold matches. We would write, we basically design them. We would say, okay, so on and so forth for these moves. And, you know, we would have predetermined winners just like the WWE did. So my character, Chameleon, was based off of The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels combined. And basically the idea is Chameleon was he would imitate his opponents. And, but I would focus more on the Undertaker aspect at the time, because basically I could keep a straight face more than the kids could, and I needed to be the dominating figure because I was the dad. But so I called him Chameleon because of the imitation factor, but he was dark and Undertaker-like. And from the rainforest, yes, exactly. And, you know, he had birds chirping and the waterfall or whatever for his introductions, because I was thinking, you know, if I'm going to be called a lizard, I might as well act the part. And that we did the roughhousing for a couple of years on and off and I found the e-fetting, and I just took my character there. But I realized that for what I was writing, and the name for a lizard just didn't work. So that's when I decided to switch over to Razor, which I don't even know how I came up with the name. I think I was just looking for something that sounded darker, more ominous, and, well, could cut, I guess you could say. Cut a good promo, whatever. So Razor came out of Chameleon, I think within the first 30 to 40 days in the PWA. So that's how he got started. And then you and I discussed bringing in a vice president, Summers, to help, I guess, do some backstage stuff in the PWA. I don't remember exactly what we discussed for that, whether it was on screen or off air or whatever. And he made his debut at Who's the Man. And at the time, no intention of him being a wrestler. He was just going to be what we agreed upon, doing some backstage stuff, helping run the PWA. And the storyline with Dr. Remo came to a head, and did the Loser Leaves PWA segment with Razor and Remo. And at that point, I had more freedom writing for Vice President Summers, because he wasn't stuck doing the dark gimmick and being all steadfast, stoic, evil, whatever. He could be whatever he wanted to be, which, you know, actually fits the Chameleon name far better. So I'm thinking, I can actually write as I would say things and do the puns, do the irony, do the joking around, and it would fit with him way more than it would with Razor. And that's how Chameleon was born. The real one, anyway.
And then you helped out a whole lot with the PWA in the early days. You were you know, the VP and took care of a lot of match writing and promotion and stuff. But
back when it was fun.
Yeah. And but you went on and you hungered for more, and you wanted to start your own Fed. So you started the W4F. So
I started that as a way to see what it was like to control the booking, because you had the funnest part of the job.
That's true.
You know, because when you get to pick who faces who to see what kind of role plays are going to come out of it, that is the most enjoyable part. Watching the people produce the matches, the writing for the matches in return, that's the second funnest part of the whole thing. It's the match writing that sucks rocks. And that's why when I created this PWA, it's blatantly right in the rules. Match writing comes last. Your stories, your devotion, your segments, that's the story we're telling. Those mean shit if you don't have a story to tell. But, yep, gave the W4F a try. Brought in some real new characters. Troy Martin. This is when I got Justin and Chris in it. Night Striker and Monkey McD at the time. And gave the W4F a go, but not so much. Not so much. Which is okay.
And was that only going once, or did you start that twice?
W4F had two runs. I had about a 6-month leave from e-fetting, and at that time, Alex
Wilcox.
Yeah, thank you. He took over the PWA for you, ran with it through March or April of 2000, and I came back in March, I believe. And after a while, I got the itch to try running on the Fed again, and brought the W4F back, and I bit stronger this time. In fact, if I look at the history real quick, because I put all the pay-per-view history for both feds together, I think it was closer to 2002 when the W4F had its second major run, and we ran for 5 pay-per-views, which, you know, for an e-fed is pretty good.
Yeah, anytime you were there for more than 2 months, it was amazing.
Mm-hmm. But I think what happened is that in fact, Who's the Man on July 28, 2002 was officially the last PWA-only pay-per-view event. If you really want to argue the end of the PWA, you're stuck between July 28th of 2002 and December 29th of 2002, because the W4F took over, and the two feds ran on independent websites at first and then merged into one website, and people from PWA and W4F were all wrestling on the same show. And that lasted until Final Showdown on December 29, 2002. And that was the official end of both events.
Okay. Now, we actually had a question from Drezzy. He wanted to know, I guess basically what happened. Why did we close down before? From my perspective, I think I kind of touched on this a little bit, but I mean, the first time that I left PW, I was just burnt out and didn't have the time. I think I don't remember if I was looking for a new job or I just started a new job, but, you know, and I'm sure you'll agree, you know, doing all that work can really take a toll, especially if you don't have, you know, a big support staff. I know that you helped out and later on Jared really helped out a lot, but we weren't as lucky to have a whole lot of match writers. I know you and I did the bulk of the match writing back then. Of course, other people helped out too. I know Dustin, he came in and helped, but before then, so I had quit and then you and, or Alex took over and I came back and then you and Jarrett had run it. So,
yep. I think the core of the end of the PWA dealt with, two or three different factors. People were burned out.
Yeah.
Not just us as the showrunners, but the wrestlers were burned
true,
out.
Yeah.
You're not getting a lot of people showing up. You had a lot of no-shows. So obviously your roster dwindled quite significantly. In fact, I was reading over one of the pay-per-views. The PWA near the end of the run had six guys.
Wow.
That's it. W4F maybe had six or seven. So you have 14 or 15. And that's good enough to run a EFED if everybody competes. But some did not.
Yeah, I know.
People left for any number of reasons. And then I'm going to personally say, you know, I'm my own devil's advocate. Being the boss and competing on the shows is usually a big no-no in the world of e-fetting. And here I'm on Showdown and I'm in two of the six matches. So, you know, if people are wondering, you know, the reason I'm where I'm at on screen, so to speak, is because of being in the position I am. I cannot deny that maybe in some cases that had something to do with it. But this is why I specifically went to other people to choose the outcomes of those matches. I have never decided my own match unless my opponent didn't role play. And I would say, okay, so-and-so, read the matches, give me your opinion, and if you're not sure, we'll ask a second person. We'll get at least two people, if it's a close match, to give an opinion. And if it's a tied opinion, well, you know, I'm kind of stuck at that point, so we'll work it out. I know that for Final Showdown, Jarrett was in charge of the two matches that I was in completely. It was his call. But, you know, you're going to have your naysayers. You're going to have your doubters who are going to just automatically think that, no, Chris, he wanted to win the match, so he won the match.
Oh, yeah.
They're not going to consider that anybody else was a part of it. That's why I had three people decide Razor versus Project X, and it was a 2-1 vote, actually. I did not come out, you know, unanimously.
Yeah, actually, that's why whenever I made the Phoenix the first time, I didn't tell anybody except for Jarrett that was me.
Yeah, thanks
and,
about that.
Yeah, and every time, Jarrett was always the one that decided, and if he wasn't positive, then I, you know, we would bring Ben Duke in and say, hey, we're not, mm-hmm. and we didn't even tell Ben that it was me, although, like I said, I think he might have figured it out whenever it was like, yeah, it was always, I don't know about this Phoenix dude, man, I can't ever decide for him, but.
But it seems to be the only one you couldn't decide
yeah.
for, so Ben put two and two together.
Probably. Yeah.
It's like, at Final Showdown, Chameleon defeated Aura in the world title Grizzly title match. You know, Jarrett decided that match. It was Nick who wanted the match. I did not book myself in the match. Nick said, you know, this is the final match. I want it against you. I'm the world champion. I want to choose you to be my opponent. And I said, well, you know, I'm not going to turn down a world title match. Just, it's silly. But then Jarrett, and we agreed for Jarrett to decide the match. But I think those factors, and the fact that, you know, writing matches is just the most difficult thing to do. I would run an eFed with no match writing whatsoever if the stories for everybody was strong enough. I think we could get away with a Rampage and be all segments, honestly. If the matches were just say, okay, after this segment, so-and-so defeated so-and-so, and then this next segment took place. We need to tell the stories, because the stories is what makes the PWA. And, you know, you got Dustin with Etika Angle. Project X coming through every week. Corey Lazarus, that's, you know, Joe, you, the Grimms, Mark McNasty, Alex Wilkie, all these guys are putting through their best damn efforts. And Nightmare, who's only been in a couple weeks, is sending in segments for the backstage every week. This is what we need to succeed. I don't care about getting 6 or 7 matches on time as long as the stories are told.
Yeah, that's a good point. I wanted to specify a couple of things that came up during that. Actually, the very end of the PWA, I had moved. I mentioned I grew up in a town about an hour south of St. Louis. I had met my wife and moved in with her, but she didn't have internet access. Or more exactly, she had dial-up internet access through this the college, her Washington University, and it was so slow, and I'd have to run a phone line all across the house, and so I didn't have access to. That's how I quit playing EverQuest too. I broke the addiction that way because I just couldn't play, and so I wasn't around for the end of the PWA. And I mean, Jarrett, of course, has his comic shop that he runs, so he's busy with that.
Exactly.
And the other thing I wanted to stress is we both talk about how much Jarrett really helped out and made a lot of decisions, which had absolutely zero impact on any of his titles, because he had a ton of titles under his belt. I don't know if that phrase really worked, but anybody that's read his stuff knows why.
Something belts under his belt.
But anybody that's read his RPs knows exactly why he, you know, is the multi-time tag and world and everything else champion.
His titles are earned,
absolutely.
And there's no dispute to that. Though I gotta admit, I think you were loving on him sometimes, but you know, he still.
I love on him not because of his help. His stuff is genuinely some of my favorite stuff to read. I think it's because we have a very similar sense of humor and a very similar taste in a lot of things. So his stuff was always a pleasure for me to read.
Mm-hmm. I'll go on record right now that while I do read all the role plays, by the time it's time to decide, post the role play, I'm reading it right away. Some of the matches I do wait on because, you know, believe it or not, I do other things. And it's like, okay, because I'm going to have to read all these role plays in a row against each other to see what stands out better. I will wait until Tuesday night and Thursday night for a lot of the role playing to read. But when I see a Morin role play posted, it's like, okay, everything else goes aside if I can. I'm going to read it and see what happens. And Jarrett just has, I mean, Jarrett owns a comic book shop, like you said, so, you know, he's got all this resource material, and it's not just material, it's the fact that he enjoys it, he reads it, he watches it, he knows what to play off of, and you get all these things that sometimes you completely forget that these things happened on TV or in comics, and then he brings it up in a role play, and it's like, you're seeing your own childhood, your own young adult life, the things you enjoyed, and that fantasy come back at you in a new way. And he's just got such a unique perspective on writing these role plays that's exactly why he is definitely one of the corners of the PWA or any Fed he would choose to be.
Yeah, you know, and I find a lot of times when I'm writing, whether I'm specifically feuding with him or not, I write a lot of stuff, throw in a lot of references with Might and Magic because the Phoenix is not as much a reference guy, but because I know that Jarrett is probably the only one that's going to pick up on it, but if he does, you know, then he's going to mention it. There were a couple of RPs where Mokdashki was speaking in German, saying completely nonsensical stuff about how much he loves sausages and a llama once ate his sister. And, mm-hmm. and Jarrett actually, whether he knows German or he took the time to translate it, he mentioned that, and I just laughed my ass off. But this actually brought up a question. I'm deviating from my notes, so this is a little scary for me. But how tough do you find it to be? Because obviously, you know, a lot of this is going to be subjective judging, you know, whenever you're judging the role plays. And, you know, it's a lot of it is, you know, the players have to write. You know, they always say that writers have to write to an audience. That's what they tell you in all your, you know, English comp classes and stuff. So basically, they're writing to please you and to please Joe or, you know, whoever happens to be judging. But how difficult is it to separate the stuff like, you know, like for me, this, I really love reading Jarrett's stuff from, you know, there were guys that, and I can't think of any off the top of my head, but I know in the old PWA, there were guys whose RPs were technically good writing, but it was just such a pain in the ass to read. And I don't want to name names in the current PWA, but you know what I'm talking about. Everybody's seen it somewhere. How difficult is it to separate? Man, I hate reading this shit, but it's technically well written.
The way I view judging any role play from any time that I've been in control of such things is I'm going to sit down and first, I got to be able to get through it. And this is no offense to the people who write long role plays. Please continue to write your long role plays. If I have to take a pause and a break to come back to it, it's really not a detriment on you. It's just that, you know, I'm sitting down to be entertained. And like you said, they're writing to cater to my whims that particular moment. And as I put in the rules, I'm saying, you know, you're coming to my Fed. You're putting in the application to play here. And I'm the judge. So I've got to choose between the two combatants who's going to write the better work that particular week. For the really close man, this is why we have a staff. I've got Kyle, who plays Mark McNasty. I've got Joe, who does Virus and Odyssey. And myself as the core staff. So every week, if there's a close match, I'm going to randomly pick someone, whether or not they're even in the PWA isn't the issue, to say, read these. Tell me, what entertained you and why? And for the close matches, I'm going to take as many different approaches to it outside of myself to see what the opinions are. But when I go and I read them, I want to first be entertained. I want to see that, and I'm big on arguments. I've always been a shoot-style player, and I noticed you mentioned that OOC. Shoot is basically just, in real Federation, it's basically going out of character, but in e-fetting, it's basically just saying things and not worrying about your surroundings or doing story. And with shoot, you know, you're getting the back and forth core arguments and watching. It's like you mentioned me as the worst person you hate to face when fighting each other, is because I'll find every little thing to attack. And that's the part I kind of enjoy most. And then, you know, you've got elements that come on top of that. And with Cyrus, it's almost always story. And as we talked about how great he is at using references. And then you take, let's see, who was I was going to mention? Okay, we had Jarrett's role plays, and there was somebody, Project X. One of the role plays he did against me for the world title was luring Bud Adams out of his house with the laptop in the car. That was really creative, and had I not been in charge of that match, that would have been a defining moment for him. It's very hard. It's an opinion. That's all it is. This is a game. It's like playing Dungeons and Dragons. Your dungeon master is going to set up the situations. He's going to throw you swerves, and how you react to them and how you define your writing is what's going to decide it. And there's no one way to win a match. Federation. As long as you mention your opponent, as long as you're able to counter at least one or two of their comments so it looks like you paid attention to theirs, the rest of it is basically at that moment I'm reading it decision. And if it's really close, if it's really tough, and it so has been every single week for so many of those matches, I'm going to outside sources.
All right. Yeah, I agree that, you know, I would see a lot of guys that would write these, you know, like 7-8 pages long in Word, you know, RPs. And it's just like, man, I just want to get to the meat of it. I want to find out why you hate this guy and why you want to kick his ass, you know? But
these guys have created three-dimensional characters. Yeah. And by writing those 8 pages, they are specifically building their character to become more than just a person on paper. I can say right now that in the 9 years that I've done Razor and Chameleon, they are as three-dimensional as they can get. That they have led. I try very much to be strictly in canon mode at all times. I don't change their attitudes just to have a good comment against an opponent. And that's what I like to read against these characters, especially the ones I know the most. You, Cyrus, so on. You know, I know your history, so if I see something that's totally out of character, I'm going, okay, something's not right here. But for the newer people that come in, they're introducing a new element. And that sometimes makes it difficult because you don't want to be biased. I mean, because I think part of your question has to do with being biased, especially like if Jarrett doing a Cyrus role play goes against this new guy that comes in that might be a comedian, and they both have solid role plays, and it's so dead even. Who are you going to go with? Well, I can't lie. You know, it'd probably be with Jarrett because of the history. And that's, again, another reason to go to outside sources.
Well, yeah, and not just bias, but also, I mean, there are some people, and I wish I could think of somebody in the old PWA that I could use for an example. There were some people I just didn't like reading their stuff. Although, you know, technically they got the job across, or the point across as to, you know, what they call the shoot part of the RP, which is, you know, I've said that that's what I like because I like to find, you know, see the motivation. But, man, just writing it or reading it was just, it was like doing fucking homework. And,
take it to this thing too, because you're using your own views on how writing should be as part of your opinion.
Absolutely.
You're judging.
Yeah, because
you get someone who repeats the same word over and over again and can't, you know, correlate a good sentence, you're going to immediately put that a strike against them.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like, actually, I think if you look at the way I write RPs against, say, Dustin, and Dustin is a hell of a writer and his stuff is great. I'm not, you know, saying anything bad about Dustin. We just, you know, he likes to put a lot of story and stage direction, I guess, you know, into his stuff. And it's excellent. And I do enjoy reading his stuff. You know, but, you know, I take, you know, almost a completely opposite approach to writing RPs. I take the almost like the old 80s, you know, WWF in front of the blue background with Mean Gene type of
type exactly. Of thing. You know, I think if we were to do that, if everybody did that, okay, we'd have a totally different setup for how we judge matches in the PWA, and it would be easier, in my opinion, to judge. If you had exactly the same setup for everyone, and they just put forth their effort to talk down their opponent, but that's not how some people are. You take, for instance, we lost Nina after a few weeks in the PWA, Psycho Sandra, because I judged against her, because she had 2-2 role plays, I believe, with Circa, and Circa had strong story elements and a match talk section, and Nina's second role play was all and just mentioned Circa once. And per the way I was judging at the time, you know, that was a strike against her. And she wanted to be in PWA specifically to tell a story, and she felt she got screwed because she told a story, and it was an excellent role play. It was. It was very well done and entertaining.
Yeah, it was a character role play rather than a
match. It was a character role play. And I can't, and I love Nina. I do. She's a good friend and, you know, she's my on-screen wife, but I couldn't be unfair and, you know, maybe a subconscious route down of trying to be as unbiased as possible. I might have put a point against her I shouldn't have. But again, being the boss of a federation, as you know, your decisions are never perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's even stuff I'll, you know, think back on and go, well, you know, that could have gone either way, and maybe I didn't make the right call, or maybe I was a little biased, because it is impossible to keep bias 100% out 100% of the time.
And sometimes it can take a long time before you can see it from a different person's angle and go, okay, I lost this match fairly when at the time I did not.
Yeah, and I think part of it, too, is I know in the old PWA, and I know you'll remember this, you know, people complain because they were used to going to feds where they would get, you know, it would be excellent role players, and they would get like a title shot immediately. And they come to the PWA and they get like a grizzly bear title shot, you know, within a couple of weeks or a month. And they'd be like, well, I should be fighting for the world title. And they're like, no, you haven't been here long enough. And it's not like an elitism or, you know, you're not one of us yet. It was more, like the upper tier guys, you know, like that were going for the main event stuff. They've been around for a long time, and it wasn't just part of what their role play doing that moment, but you know what, a culmination of everything. And I kind of forgot where I was going with this, but but you know what I mean. I think that sometimes that flavors the role plays too. Like I know a lot of times. Like Monkey McD, he's a guy that you could always count on to do, you know, good top quality stuff every time. And I'm using a lot of really old examples here, but that's so I don't, you know, insult anybody in the PWA.
Well, you use examples also that you're able to, you know, that the examples work.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a, yeah.
You don't want to use somebody new who you might be wrong about.
Yeah, it's a good point.
And
yeah.
And to touch upon your comment about coming into another Fed, anybody who's been around a long time and they come into a new Fed with their character, and in their mind they see their character as a three-dimensional, fully functioning, active wrestler who's held 20 world titles and is the most dominant man in 20 Feds they've been in, and now here they are in a new fighting for the TV title. Of course they're going to think, but I'm me. I'm the big champion.
Yes, exactly.
But you're in a Fed with a new guy who thinks you're nothing but the new kid on the block.
Yeah, we know you're a new guy who did a good job and keep doing a good job, you know?
But you don't always know they did a good job, because unless you know those other federations,
in their role plays in the PWA, they've done a good job. But keep it up and earn a spot.
Exactly. Because when I went to the BWF, I mean, I came from the PWA and the HIC with 4 or 5 world titles to my name, maybe 10 between my two characters. First thing I did in BWF is I want an open challenge. Give me anybody. I want to see what I can do. That's the way people should react. That's the way people should do it when they go to
the event. Yeah, and I think, to me, and like talking to, I know Night Striker was kind of pissed at me at first, because he didn't think I was judging him fairly, where I was actually judging him more on a culmination, knowing that, hey, this guy's good, he's gonna be really good, and let's get him in some really, really awesome angles with some really good role players, and, you know, so that way when he gets to the world title, it kind of is more meaningful. I know, like at this point, if I would have, won the world title with the Phoenix in like the key match, I would have been happy, but it wouldn't be the same as if I win it at some point in the future against, whoever, because I've worked for it and I've worked my way up and I've gone, I've had some good matches against, some really good opponents, and, it's going to mean more to me. So.
And that's what people don't get sometimes. You know, if you walk into a new Fed and you win the world title in your first week, you're the only one that's going to be happy.
Yeah, exactly. And that actually sounded very presumptive of me there. I was speaking hypothetically, but the point stands.
Right. No, definitely. Because I've always believed that the best way to be dominant in any federation is to be dominant from the bottom rung of the ladder to the top, and not just the top, because if you start at the top and you fall, that's it, you're done.
You know, and this kind of ties into to the whole Blazing Wing thing, where he thought, I don't know what the hell he thought, that he deserved a title shot, but what the hell had he done to actually get it?
Well, here's the view. You see, I got... Dave himself is a person I'm sure is a really good guy. I mean, we've gotten along really well. But in the world of e-fetting, we have clashed more than you and I, or me and Ben, or anyone. Because, yeah, that's a lot. And the thing is, partially it was due to my ego. I'm not denying that. You win enough world titles and you're going to think a couple things here and there. But what happened was, I'm watching this guy, he's trying to run a federation, and it ran for 4 years mostly. I mean, it ran as long as the PWA. And the reason why it ran had to be good reasons. You know, it was successful on all the right counts. But, I came from the PWA, and I came from running a couple of E-Feds, and I saw some things that were definitely broken, and my first reaction is to try to help. Well, unfortunately, Blazing Wing is a very self-contained, it's all me or it's nothing at all type of person. He'll agree with me on something and then 24 hours later come back online in a huffy piss fit and ban me. And I think he has a slow build-up to going, hey, wait a minute, I didn't like that. But when it came to match deciding, I watched, and he was pretty good at it. Was he didn't always read all the role plays. He would have people write matches and then let them decide the outcome. So you're half your feds writing matches, deciding the events for him. That's happened on a couple occasions that I can recall. And this last time he ran the BWF, he was online maybe 4 hours a week. You can't legitimately make sure that everybody in your game is being successful to the best of their ability if you're never there to help, never there to run it. So I guess the issue was that I'm watching the Federation fall on its ass. He's not there to pick up the pieces. There's nothing I can do because I'm just a competitor, and I want my fair shot at the title that I'm earning, so I'm not going to rock the boat. But I guess this kind of leads into how the PWA got started this time, was the fact that I was watching it falter, watching it fail, and I'm going over, I would have run this, how would I do things differently? So I'm driving home from work one night, and I just started putting together a set of rules in my head. And it seems funny, but I'm going, okay, just for fun, I'm driving home, I'm bored, I'm going to just start thinking about the game. It tells you I have no life. And the first thing I think of, okay, for one thing, the biggest reason we lose anybody, two biggest reasons we lose anybody in eFed is people who snipe you, like in eBay. They deadline you. Their first role play is posted 10 minutes before the deadline, even though you've had 6 days to role play, and you've put out this great effort, and you're waiting to respond because you love the challenge, and your opponent posts 10 minutes to deadline. That's going to kill off, that's going to send people packing real quick. And the only people winning are the ones who are no good at it to begin with. So, okay, I needed to prevent that. So what do? I create two deadlines. The other one is match writing. On-time show. What kills an eFed? If you're waiting 6 days past the deadline for a show, and you know you're there when you're supposed to be there by the rules, but yet the boss can't produce the effort to put the shows up on time. I mean, I don't think there was ever I'm probably wrong, and if Dave ever hears this, I apologize, but I don't remember very many on-time shows in the BWF. Most might have been only a day late, but it became habit that we were posting polls every week about what date a show would come out. And people are giving their time to you in a verbal agreement that you are going to have the product out when you say it's going to be out. So again, that was where my major rule of the matches come second to story, because if you're sending in your on cards on time like you're supposed to, I've got the story ready to do. But you know, if there's a missing match from a writer, what do? Do I wait for him to send it in, or do I write a quick synopsis and get the show out on time? Well, if the synopsis tells the story, I believe that's the way it should be done. So I'm creating a set of rules that say, okay, match writing comes last, story comes first, two deadlines. You have to have your first role. You see, if I get the show out on time every week, then you got plenty of time to send your first role play in. So first deadline Tuesday, second deadline Thursday, only one role play per person on Thursday. And then to prevent deadlining, I created the 4-hour bubble rule, which basically is if your opponent posts at the last minute, you get 4 hours to respond. There's no way you can't. I challenge anybody out there, post an OOC comment if they can find a way around those rules to create a deadline scenario.
Well, I'm in bed. You know, if somebody were going to post at midnight, I'm in bed.
Well, I understand that.
Yes, if I
but
was
the
that
point
concerned,
is the option
I
is
definitely.
There. I can't. I mean, you got some people that are, and I got to admit, as much as I was into the game, I would, because I remember one specific time in the BWF, I had a tag team match against two opponents, and they both started post. I had to be to work at 11 p.m. because I worked midnights, and I woke up at 10 with the anticipation of going online to see that they creamed these guys because they had never posted all week. Suddenly, there were two role plays up. I had to type out a quick response to cover the aspects of what they threw at me, and thank God they were crappy role players. They threw out like three paragraphs that were all repetitive. So I threw that out. I went, I got cleaned up, I sat back down to go to work, and they had responded again. And I'm like, okay, I called, this is how bad I am. This is how my life sucks. I called work and told them I'd be 10 minutes late because I wanted to respond before I left. And I bitched the day. Hey, come on, ridiculous. You got 6 days here, and then these guys do this, and you know that I'm going to give you my best effort. I won. I mean, they were crappy role players. I don't care who they were. They were just crappy. They're the kind that you put out on weekly shows as jobbers just to give material. But I'm going, like, I'm not going to let anybody in my federation have to go through that. Granted, if they have to wake, set their alarm to be up at 11 o'clock tonight to get 3 hours to respond, at least they've got it.
Yeah, no, actually, when we started recording this, I saw that Vicious had posted another role play in for our match, and I want to respond because I'm having so much fun going back and forth with him. But you know,
are you're even, right?
That's right. I'm like, well, we're even, and at this point, as much fun as I'm having, like it's, you know, I would feel a little cheap, you know, doing it with, you know, only a couple of, like it's 10 o'clock. Eastern right now, or actually quarter after 10. So by the time we get done doing all of this and I type something up and post, it's...
I still got to write a match and put the show
together.
It's going
to be right there. So, you know, that's just not cool. So I really like the rules.
I want to check one thing. When did you do your... Okay, you did yours yesterday. So actually, you technically could. Yeah, based on the rules of one role play per person per day, you could role play today. But you can also... Oh, darn, you're recording this, so I apologize to Dead End, whatever, in a moment, but you can always do an on-card. Those are legal.
No, I think we've had pretty good back and forth, and I'm going to be content with whatever happens.
Yes, you did. And have you
read
his
last one? No, I haven't
read,
because I just noticed it as we were recording. I was looking at the card for Chaos.
His very first set of lines, I actually cut and pasted to my last role play as Razor, because what he said is almost identical to the way I was feeling against Stevenson. So I made sure to say that I'm not plagiarizing. This is his line, but this is how I feel about you, because it was a good one. Don't worry. I'm to be honest with you, I've already got Joe's decision on the max, and I'm waiting for Kyle's decision. And I'm going to see what they say, and I'm going to read them through, and then we'll see what happens.
No, actually, I've been... really impressed with the level of competition in the PWA this time. I haven't gone up against anybody that actually, you know, RP'd back that I didn't, you know, really question whether I could win the match. You know, whether it was Kyle Stevenson or Drezzy or Jared or Vicious this time. Like, anybody I thought could beat me.
I feel bad about that on this account. I have to interrupt. I feel bad about this because you and I had an email discussion that you were in the Keys to Glory competition, but I asked you to bow out at the end so we could have our pay-per-view match, with the total anticipation that after that I'd be pushing you towards world event status, or IC status, I think I told you. And then every match you've got have been so close that your record
that is
isn't that good yet. And I was honestly expecting you to maybe have one loss at Genesis if I could beat you, and then be right back up there building up your win record. And then I'm every week that I go over the role plays, and it's so close. And then, you know, I do not think you've had a unanimous vote against you
nice.
Yet.
But no, seriously, everybody is so good. I all of my opponents, I'm like, any of these guys could beat me, and I'm not going to be unhappy or question it, because everybody's really good. They put a lot of effort in.
The PWA, you see, when I started the Fed, I had every intention that it would probably fail. And I'm going, okay, I'm going to do this, give a place for people to go, and so on. And then if you look at the archives, 34, 40, 46 posts. And yeah, that does count the creation of the thread, so you have to subtract that. But, I mean, right there, within 2 months, we're averaging nearly 35 posts total per show. That's incredible. That's just amazing. I don't know what we used to do in the PWA overall, but I know some weeks were really good, other weeks we weren't. But this is just like I don't think I've seen this type of level of competition in any federation that wasn't, you know, like based right in the core of Rough Cut or something like that.
This is fantastic, and the best thing about it is that you know, prospective people are going to see, you know, the activity and the quality of the activity. And, you know, we're going to get even, you know, more better people. So the people that don't want to keep up, or they don't want to put forth the effort, or they get pissed because whatever, you know.
Right. Well, we lost two this week, as I said. And now that we're out of character, I can tell you that Kara Sue and Method Cobra both deleted their accounts this week. Method Cobra might just be following Ben is his real name, and Ben is pissed off, I think, because he didn't get a chance to put in his wording into your match. But the rules say you can't post two in a row. The rules do not say you have to wait for everyone else to post. And personally, in my opinion, if my opponents post two each and they give me enough material to base off of, that's a benefit to me for information to use. Because we do not judge our role plays here in the PWA based on two versus one or three versus two. I mean, if you can really put your foot down and blast your opponents apart in 20 in like five paragraphs compared to their 20 pages, that's going to win it for you.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I remember one of my favorite RPs of all time in the on the old PWA was Rage had done it, not the new Rage, but the old Rage. We've got, and it was only, you know, like a paragraph, two paragraphs. It was really short, but he completely got his point across. And I don't remember who he fought or anything else, but I know it was a feud, and it was against, it might have been against Razor for all I know, but he absolutely hated his opponent, and he got it across, this seething hatred and fury that he felt. And it was better than, you know, if it were three pages long and just went on and on. So,
yep.
You know, they don't have to be long to be effective. And thank God for that, or that's what my wife tells me.
I don't know if you remember this promo, but you booked me in a match, Razor versus whomever, and my opponent did not roleplay, and I had already done one. But just for kicks, I did a promo where Razor walked onto the screen, okay, the TV frame, turns, looks at the TV, stands there for 30 seconds, and then walks off. I think you responded and laughed at that one, but that was my shortest promo ever. But it's like, you know, if I'd added crickets chirping, that would have been even better. But because that's what I love about my role playing is just, I just love to have fun. It's like, I don't know if you read the Razor role plays for this week yet, but I did one with some music in it, and I had fun with it. So if you get a chance to listen to that one, you might crack up. But that's one, see, that's where Razor is. Somebody's commented, how many people comment that Razor's retired? I think I get that every other role play.
Oh, I definitely do that, but I mean, I do.
Razor's
that for a
only
reason.
Officially retired once, damn it. Not
yeah, as far
once.
Yeah, as far as Robinson's concerned, all the old guys either are retired or should be, and everybody else is a rookie.
Yep. So Robinson should be retired too.
Not in a good position. He was a hobo, basically. That's not the same thing.
Well, real quick here, was there any other question we wanted to take? I'm pretty sure that the audience is going to get bored waiting for this four-hour program to end, and then you and I could go over a couple things off air.
Yes, I actually have one more question, and then we've got the five questions.
Okay.
So we have to, getting on to that, because we do ramble. All right. So I was actually talking about this with my wife of all people earlier about my promo writing style, and what do you think about cursing, specifically the word fuck in role plays? Because I was real, when I write mine, I try to be in the mindset of this is something that's going to be aired on TV, even if it's cable TV. So I try to use language that is appropriate, you know, that could actually get aired without, you know, bleeps or dead air.
Like some of our characters who every other word is beep.
Right, yeah.
I can go over two aspects of that. I'm going to talk both real quick about the swearing and death in EF.
Okay.
I think if swearing is used to emphasize something, it's okay. If it's used excessively, I've always viewed, and this is no offense to any particular person directly, but I've always viewed that anybody who needs to swear consistently has nothing to say. Because if you have to use a swear word every other word to make your promo look like it's a page long, if you edit the swear words out, it comes to two sentences and you said nothing in it, it's not a role play. If you can't get through a role play without going, well, you blah, 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 beep, 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 then basically you're not creative. If it's like Chameleon could come at you and he could swear up and down the book without using a swear word, but you would know what he said. And a lot of people can actually not do that. Not just me, but a lot of people can swear using normal words and get the same point across. So excessive swearing to me is a turnoff. And since it's my opinion, and I'm judging the role plays based on what makes me feel best, if you're going to say the third word, then that's an automatic deterrent to your chances of winning the match. And to lead on real quick, the other thing that I've always hated in e-fetting is on-air death. because, you see, we're not the WWE or TNA. This is not, quote-unquote, a scripted program. We run this federation, and most eFeds do, as if it were real life. And I'm very big on logistics, which goes back again to how you hate fighting against me, because I poke at every little thing I can get. My ex-girlfriend said I should have been a lawyer, and I think you can see that in my writing. But if somebody dies on screen, my first thought is, okay, who's going to jail? Well, no one's going to jail. They're on air next week wrestling in a goddamn match. And, hey, look, I sweared. But and it just doesn't make sense. And if you can't keep me focused on the and this is an odd, ironic word to use in the term of e-fetting, the reality of it, then it's a big negative. Fear killed King Agony in the PWA within the first couple months of existence. What did Razor do? Razor actually saved him, and King Agony makes an appearance down the line. That was just my little way of removing a pet peeve of mine from the PWA, because I didn't think the PWA needed to stoop to that level. No offense to you. You were telling a story. But it's just, I'm thinking, okay, King Agony or Fear killed this guy on air. Why is he not in jail? Why is he not going to court? Why is he not suspended from the PWA? And I know most people may not think that way, and maybe I'm on a very low minority of thinking in this, but you want to tell a good story, at least make the story make sense. So between the swearing, which means that if you have to swear too much, you don't have a lot to say, and the death issues, those are my two biggest pet peeves in wrestling, and whether it's real, fake, on the TV.
All right, well, that's fair enough. Let's move on to the five questions. All right, what is your favorite gimmick match?
Favorite gimmick match? Oh, see, as long as I don't have to write it. so far, it's honestly been Rumble in the Bronx. Granted, I've written every one of them, but like the first one with the 48 competitors, my God, what a match. I was so into the PWA as a character back then, I knew everyone's story. I was able to tell or help progress, I think, five or six different stories in the core of that match. And I think a Rumble, whether or not the best match to write, is one of the best stories to tell. And it may not be a huge gimmick match because, you know, hardcore matches, you know, it's funny because WWE has street fights. They have hardcore matches. They have cage matches. They're basically all the same match. There's no rules. So there's no creativity. I mean, I created the Bloodlust match, which took forever to explain to you, I believe, at the time. But being, you know, two rings and one big Hell in a Cell with a scaffold between the two rings at the height of the top rope with weapons all around. You know, that was a fun match to write. But gimmick-wise, I think those two matches would probably be my favorite.
Who's your favorite opponent?
Oh, I cannot name just one. Definitely Jarrett. He would definitely be the one because I know that when I'm going to read the role plays, I'm going to have to fight not just, you know, with the verbal warfare, which I enjoy, but trying to match his wit without looking like I'm copying it.
Yeah, that is tough.
It is horrendously tough. Back in the BWF, I had to face a guy called the Executioner, and he was fun to roleplay against because I could find part against him, and he would come back, and we would continue it, and it was good. And then also in the BWF, there was Legend. His name's Anthony. We had probably one of my top three favorite feuds of my entire career, and he was an incredible opponent. God, the face against that I really enjoyed. I think there was one other one, and actually it's to the point where I'm going to actually have to go to the history to find out who it was. So ask me the next question, and
okay.
I'll come back
Who's
to that.
Who's your least favorite opponent?
Thunderwolf.
Thunderwolf? Oh, okay, that's fair.
Dustin. Dustin and Alex, Lisa, Lorenzo, because they're great, but finding a way to come against them is sometimes just a little difficult. And like you said, Dustin puts a lot of story into his role plays, and you just really have to have fun to come against them sometimes. And I can name the other guy I really enjoyed against was Panzerdice.
Oh, yes, Panzerdice was... his stuff was also... It was similar to Jarrett's in that there was a lot of comedy and a lot of like weird references. Like, at the time, who the hell talk about Tony Danza or Scott Baio? And, yeah, so his stuff was a lot of fun. Okay, what opponent would you most like to face? And I guess since you've got both Chameleon and Razor, with whom?
If we're talking about right now, who I really want to face with Razor is Darren Rydell.
Why is that?
Because he beat me at a pay-per-view in the past, which I think was mostly story-based.
Don't let stuff go.
That's right, I don't, and I really would like another chance to face him on a pure role-play per role-play level with three judges to say who had it.
and you know, to back up my comment there, I want the world to know that Phoenix and Razor at Genesis happened, because who handed you Razor his only loss at Genesis?
Well, no one yet.
that would be the Phoenix.
If I go back to Genesis, didn't that air previously?
No, it was taped previously, but it aired at Genesis. It was a Genesis match. There's no technicalities here. I was in charge of that. I'm making the call.
Okay, well, I'm in charge of my memory, and I'm...
Yeah, and it was a fast count, too, at Who's the Man, right?
No, there was no count. You just escaped it. Actually, here's the funny thing. I actually thought about this the other day. You realize that as being the only man to beat Razor directly at Genesis, if we were to go that way, required you to run. Because when you have to escape a cell or you have to escape a room, you're not winning because you're the best. You turned tail and ran faster.
Whatever it takes, man.
Whatever it takes.
All right, and finally, what is your favorite feud?
My favorite feud. Oh, it's a definite tie. The one with Legend and Chameleon and BWF. If anybody was around when that happened, they can understand that. The way it started was just purely coincidental. I was actually the vice president over there at the time, or the commissioner, and Legend was the world champion. But we had two shows then, too, in the same night, like the PWA is doing now. And he was booked on the quote-unquote B show for 3 weeks in a row. And he was pissed about it, in character. Anthony himself understood the situation, but the character obviously saying, I'm the world champion, what the hell am I doing on the B-show? And Chameleon, the commissioner, would come back and would have words with him going, hey, just be lucky you're on the damn show at all, because I could just kick you off entirely. And that's when the verbal war began, and it came to the fact that Chameleon got special referee in the triple threat match at WrestleFest when Legend was champion. Spartacus and Mark McNasty, and Chameleon said specifically that he would go buy the book and make sure that it was fair down the line at all times. And well, he was pretty much right about that, because when Legend had both guys outside the ring ready for a 10 count, Chameleon hit the sweet sound of success, a super kick on Legend, so they were all down. And then from that point on, he counted the match fairly, and Captain Marticus won the title. And that sent me and Anthony into a feud for the number one contendership for the title, and that was one of our best set of role plays each for that federation. And the other one is when I had the Grizzly Bear title, had the Grizzly Notch. I role played my ass off, and so did he, and I read that card expecting to lose. I totally expected to give it to him, because there was a stipulation he had to win to be in the PWA, and that's a huge stipulation to lose. And I think I had set myself up to lose that match because there was really no way he should have lost. But then I read the winner and I'm going, oh my god, I won. And I think with the effort I put in and the odds I had to overcome for that, that was my other greatest feud. And then if you were talking about non-feuds for best title wins, well, obviously Rumble in the Bronx, the first one, becoming the premier undisputed champion. Those would be my four crowning moments, my four jewels for my career.
All right. Well, it was great having you on, and we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we will have the shocking conclusion to PWA Radio. We'll be right back. All right, and that's going to do it for this edition of PWA Radio. I want to thank our guest, President Chameleon, for coming on here and spending so very long talking to us. I hope you enjoy the show. If you've got any questions, any comments, anything you want us to talk to our next guest about, who I'll be talking about here in just a second, then please email us at pwapodcast@gmail.com, or you can leave comments on the blog at pwapodcast.citadel7.com, or you can leave messages on the forums. Either way, and those forums, of course, are located at www.the-pwa.com. But no matter what, just leave some questions, some comments, some, you know, feedback, whatever, so we've got some stuff to talk about next week, when our guest will be the reigning Intercontinental Champion, Mark McNasty. So tune in then.
Thank you.